Maiden Death spoke softly from the doorway, but Tella could feel power pulsing around her as her ghostly gown fluttered, while the assassin stood at her side collecting shadows. Legend's handsome face appeared impassive, but Tella swore the arched doorway in which the Fates stood grew taller, making both of them look smaller.
"Thank you for the offer," he said, "but we'd rather fight this battle alone."
"I don't believe you can win without us," sighed the Maiden Death. "At least take these."
There was a hiss and a pop, like a strike of the match, and then the assassin was standing next to Tella, placing two thick discs in her palm. Luckless coins. Tella flashed back to when Jax had given her one of these. She remembered thinking the magical coin was such a special gift. But there was a reason the objects were called luckless. They could be used not just to summon fates, but to track humans.
"In case you change your mind,"
rasped the assassin.
"Hold them tight, say our names, and we will come to your aid," the Maiden Death promised.
Tella had to admit, they were kinder than any of the other fates she'd met, and yet she still tossed their coins into a rubbish bin as soon as they disappeared.
"So what do we do now?" asked Jovan.
"I have a new idea," Tella offered. Another girl might have remained quiet after her last scheme had failed so spectacularly. But it was for that reason that Tella felt the need to find a plan that worked. The idea was something Jax had suggested, but she hadn't seriously considered it before. It would be riskier to her sister because it would mean she'd need to get the Fallen Star's blood. But if it worked, it would end up saving Scarlet and the entire Empire.
"There's a book in the Immortal Library that will reveal a person's or a fate's entire history. If we find this book and read the Fallen Star's history, it should tell us any weakness that he has."
Aiko looked up from her notebook, where she'd already begun sketching their encounter with the assassin and the Maiden Death.
"You are talking about the Rusica. That book could be very useful, but to access the Fallen Star's history, we would need a vial of his blood."
"I know," Tella took a deep breath, hoping this gamble would pay off. "My sister is with the Fallen Star, and once we have the book, we can send a message asking her to get the blood."
"No," Julian objected. "That would put her in too much danger."
"All of us are in danger," Aiko said,
"and Scarlet won't be alone."
Legend divided looks between Nigel, Aiko, Caspar, and Jovan. "While Tella and I search for the Rusica, Nigel, get back into the palace and find out what the fates have planned next. Aiko, figure out which fates are in Valenda. I don't want to be surprised by any more visits. Caspar, find a way into the palace as well, and try to learn how loyal people are to the fates in charge. Jovan, I want you on Scarlet. Sneak into the menagerie ruins. Make sure she stays safe, and when you can, slip her a note letting her know we need the Fallen Star's blood."
Tella wanted to protest. Getting the Fallen Star's blood was going to be risky for Scarlet. She didn't want her sister attempting it until they had the book. But the longer they waited to ask Scarlet to get the blood, the longer she would be in the menagerie with him.
"I still don't like this plan," said Julian. "If anyone's going to watch over Crimson, I should."
"Not a chance," Legend replied. "You'll get caught. And if something happens to you now, I can't bring you back."
Julian glared up at his brother.
"You won't have to bring me back. I won't get caught."
"I'm not going to argue about this."
Legend shook his head, his tone dismissive. Julian shot up from his chair, and suddenly everyone at the table had somewhere else to look. But Tella couldn't tear her eyes away. Legend was taller and broader, but Julian's face was full of the kind of raw emotion Legend never showed.
"You don't want to argue because you know I'm right."
"You're not right," Legend said. "You're in love, and it makes you sloppy."
Julian flinched. So did Tella.
Not that Legend even appeared to notice her reaction.
You're right, Legend, Tella said, drawing his attention back to her. Legend smiled, pleased she agreed with him, until Tella went on. Love is messy. It's not easily controlled, but that's what makes it so powerful. It's unbridled passion. It's caring about someone else's life more than you care about your own. I agree that Julian is probably in more danger of being caught or worse if he goes to the menagerie ruins to watch over Scarlet. But I think it's admirable that he's willing to take that risk. Julian stood a little taller.
Thank you, Donatella.
But I still agree with Legend. If you're at risk, Julian, it puts my sister in more danger. If she were to find out you were there and in trouble, she'd do anything to save you. I think the best thing for her would be if you stayed away. Julian shook his head with a scowl. But there were no more arguments after that. It was almost eerie how no one else debated their assignments. In the end, everyone agreed to follow Legend's orders. Even Julian, who received an assignment which did not involve infiltrating the menagerie ruins where Scarlet was being kept. As Tella watched everyone quietly leave, she wondered if maybe Legend had manipulated them all. Did he possess another type of magic that she didn't know about? Or maybe it had something to do with how they were all bonded to him.
I know what you're thinking, Julian said. Everyone else had gone, and he was almost at the door, but he turned back and looked upon Tella. You're wondering if we all only agreed because we're tied to Legend by magic. You're wondering if the same thing will happen to you if you accept the offer my brother made you and become an immortal.
Julian, Legend warned.
Relax, brother. A wolfish smile replaced Julian's scowl. I was just going to tell her the truth. We all have free will, Tella. If you become immortal, you won't lose your free will. You won't feel my brother controlling you. But you'll never feel him loving you like the way I love Crimson.
With that, he walked out of the room, leaving Tella and Legend alone. The warm lights of the study dimmed as Tella heard Legend move closer. The air grew warmer, and her heart beat faster. But she didn't dare look up at him. It was too easy to be hypnotized by everything about him. Earlier, when he'd kissed her in the market, she'd felt how much he'd wanted her. She'd thought maybe it could be enough. Being wanted by Legend was heady and powerful. Then she'd watched Julian. Tella had never been attracted to Julian, but for a moment, she'd hated how jealous she'd been of what her sister had with him. Enough would never be enough for Tella. She wanted a love worth fighting for, but immortals couldn't love.
My brother only said that because he's upset.
Legend's low voice was right beside Tella, and as he spoke, the world transformed. The walls turned to smoke, the abandoned table vanished, and the doorway disappeared until it was just the two of them standing under a velvet sky full of surreal white stars. Flickering, glimmering, shimmering lights. But none of them shined like Legend's coal dark eyes when she finally looked up at him.
There are other advantages to being immortal.
His warm hand slipped around her neck before his fingers slid into her hair.
Give me a chance, please.
Tella tilted her head back, leaning into his palm at the word please. The way he said it made her feel so wanted and important, once again. His mouth twitched into half a smile, and the world went a little brighter as several stars fell from the sky, tumbling toward the earth in dazzling arcs of fire. Tella loved it when he showed off. She loved that he was magical. She loved so many things about him. She wanted him more than she'd ever wanted anyone. She didn't want him to let her go or to leave her alone, not even for a moment. She wanted him to chase her to the ends of the earth, to show up in her dreams every night, and to be there when she woke as well. She wanted him to love her. But knowing what love would cost Legend, she could never ask again. Tella needed to end this, for both of them. She knew Legend didn't love her. He had said he never would. But just in case that ever changed, the last thing she wanted was to be the reason that he didn't come back to life when he died. Tella gave him the sort of smile she usually paired with half-hearted apologies. I can't do this. Several stars disappeared from the sky. Tella faltered, but she didn't stop. I thought I could consider it. But I actually think I fell more in love with the idea of you than the real you. Legend clenched his jaw.
You don't mean that, Tella.
Yes, I do. She forced the words out, each one tasting worse than the last. But she knew that if she didn't go through with this now, she wouldn't be able to do it again. Legend might not have been able to feel love, but from the way he kept looking at her, from the way his mouth slammed into a taut line and his eyes turned distant and guarded, it was clear he knew how to feel hurt. Tella made herself continue, her forced smile fading. It's sort of like how you wanted to see if you could convince the world you were Ellentine's heir. Only I... She took a deep breath. I wanted to see if I could make the great master Legend fall in love with me. Legend's face became a mask of perfect calm, but what remained of the stars in their sky went out all at once, cloaking them both in sudden darkness.
If that's true, Donatella, then we both failed at getting what we wanted.
Before she could reply, he was gone. Chapter 35 Donatella. That night, Tella tried not to think about Legend. She needed to focus. She couldn't think of the hurtful things she'd said to him, or the way he'd left her in total darkness as she penned a note to her sister that would either doom them all or save them. Scar, we need a vial of the fallen star's blood, but be very careful getting the blood. And with the fallen star, whatever you do, don't try to make him love you. When I went to the vanished market, I learned that the fallen star loved our mother once. She was the only human he ever loved, and he killed her. Be more cautious than you've ever been in your life. Love, T. Tella lost track of how many times she reread the note before finally giving it to Jovan, who would deliver it to Scarlet later that day, for it was already after midnight. Tella was beyond tired, but even after she climbed into bed, she fought against sleep, not wanting to face whatever waited for her, or rather, what didn't wait for her, in her dreams. Chapter 36 Donatella. The dreamy sky carriage came into focus slowly. It enveloped Tella like a tucked-away memory, laced with hints of apples and magic. The leather cushions beneath her were buttery and trimmed in thick royal blue that matched the heavy curtains lining the oval windows. It was exactly like the first sky carriage she'd ever been in, except for its size. It was about half the size of a regular coach, leaving practically no room between her and the young man who sat opposite her, Jax. He grinned like a scoundrel as he tossed a shimmery white apple between his pale fingers. And for the first time, Tella was glad that she'd given him permission to enter her dreams. His apple looked as if its skin had been dipped in glitter, and yet its shine was that of a spark to a flame when compared to the Prince of Hearts. He was a little disheveled, as usual. His light brown trousers were only half tucked into his boots. His rusty red velvet tailcoat was wrinkled, and his cream cravat was only half tied. But his skin glowed like a star. His golden hair shone brighter than any crown, and his unearthly eyes gleamed with a shade of blue that made Tella think of the most wonderful mistakes.
"What are we doing here?" she asked.
She knew they were in a dream, and, like Legend, Jax appeared to have the ability to control it.
"I thought I'd try something new. I want us to start over."
He flashed his dimples in a way that Tella imagined was an attempt at an innocent smile. She wondered briefly what might have happened if he'd given her that smile the first time they'd met, rather than threatening to toss her out of the carriage. She wouldn't have thought he was the least bit innocent or harmless, but she would have been intrigued.
"Say you could relive that day. What would you have done differently?"
"Maybe I'd have offered you a bite of my apple."
He leaned forward, approaching her almost reverently, and set the glittering piece of fruit in her hands. It was colder than his skin, nearly burning in its iciness.
"Go ahead and take a bite, my love. It's just an apple."
"For some reason, I don't believe you."
His grin twitched.
"It may have a little magic."
"What kind?"
"Taste it and find out."
Jax's challenging stare looked like a dare, the sort that was already lost as soon as it was accepted. If this had happened the first time they'd met, she probably would have taken a bite, half curious about the magical white fruit, half hoping to impress the even more magical boy across from her. And it probably would have put her under a spell more treacherous than his kiss had.
"I think I'll pass," she handed him the apple.
Jax took hold of her instead. In an instant, she was across the carriage and folded neatly in his lap, his cool arms wrapped around her, and his lips were close enough to kiss.
"Jax,"
Tella placed a hand against his chest before he could lean any closer.
"I would have been tempted by the apple, but I might have actually pushed you out of the carriage if you'd tried this that day."
"Then push me, Donatella. I won't stop you if that's what you want."
But rather than letting her go, the arms around her tightened. Then his head tilted to the side. His lips found the sensitive place where her neck met her jaw.
"Jax."
Her voice was too breathless. It sounded like an invitation instead of a warning as his mouth trailed down her neck, moving slowly and softly against her skin. His lips dropped lower, to the hollow of her throat, and her heart beat faster. When Jax kissed her, it always felt a little like he worshipped her. And with everything that had just transpired with Legend, it was so very tempting to just let him keep doing it.
"Tell me what you want, Donatella. Say it, and I'll give it to you."
His mouth stilled on her collarbone.
"Jax,"
she pushed hard on his chest. There wasn't really enough room in this carriage for her to go anywhere, but she was able to separate his lips from her skin. 3 months ago, she wouldn't have stopped him. The Tella who didn't believe in love would have played with Jax the same way he clearly enjoyed playing with her. But Tella felt too vulnerable to play tonight.
"I'm sorry, Jax. I don't think you can give me what I want."
The color of his eyes dulled to pale sea glass, something like hurt filling his gaze.
"If I had my full powers, I could change your mind. I could make you feel more than you've ever imagined. I can even make the feeling last if you tell me who Legend is."
He stroked her cheek. His touch was affectionate, but there was nothing loving or warm about what he'd suggested. Unlike the other fates, Jax hadn't been in the cards when Legend had freed them from the Deck of Destiny, so he remained weakened. But with his complete powers, Jax could control anyone's emotions. While having him take her feelings from her for one night had been a relief, Tella wouldn't ever want to give someone that much power over her indefinitely. I wouldn't want that either, she said softly.
At least I tried.
His dimples returned.
I suppose I'll just have to try harder.
He ran his fingers down her cheek once more as the dream dissolved. Chapter 37 Scarlet. While Tella was still asleep, Scarlet received a note sheathed inside the linen napkin accompanying her breakfast. She resisted the urge to immediately tear open the message. Instead, she took another sip of her morning cordial and slowly slid the page into her pocket. She swore she could see puffs of demanding purple drifting up from where the message hid, as if it contained some of her sister's impatience. The lady prisoner was friendly, forthcoming with what she knew about the Fallen Star's plans, and she hadn't told him about Scarlet's use of the reverie key. And yet, Scarlet still didn't entirely trust her. She let the note sit in her pocket until later that afternoon, when the lady prisoner's eyes were finally closed for her nap, and Scarlet could see that her colors had genuinely shifted to the tranquil teal of still waters. The Lady Fate never slept long. Scarlet imagined it had something to do with the fact that she was forced to sleep on a perch. So Scarlet read quickly, and then she penned a hasty note of her own. Donatella, I'll get the blood, and I'll be careful. But whatever you're doing, be quick. In 3 days' time, the Fallen Star plans to make his claim for the throne. He's bragged to me that his fates will continue to torment the city. When he makes his first public appearance, he wants the people of Valenda to beg him to claim the throne and replace the fates who killed Legend. No one will think to complain that he's crowned himself emperor until it's too late. All my love, S. Chapter 38 Donatella. Tella had naively imagined that the immortal library would be as easy to find as the vanished market had been. It was almost as laughable as the idea that the word easy still remained in her vocabulary. She gave a delicate snort. If Legend heard it, he didn't react. His broad shoulders didn't shift, and his dark head didn't turn away from the waters of the cracked fountain he'd been staring into. The same fountain they'd kissed in front of on the night Tella realized she was falling in love with him. If only falling out of love with him was as easy. She'd never before wanted to stop loving Legend, but today she kept thinking about what Jax had tried to offer as they searched the decrepit columns that surrounded the ruins of the cursed wife. He didn't have his full powers, so he couldn't actually take away any of Tella's emotions for longer than a day, or truly change her feelings. But she was a little tempted by the idea of feeling indifferent, rather than feeling everything. She knew Legend remembered the night he'd carried her here, and then kissed her until she'd forgotten her pain. If she closed her eyes, she could recall it all. She could remember the way he'd carried her to the mossy steps before the ruins, how they'd talked of their pasts, and then how they'd kissed. She could remember the soft, asking sensation of his lips against her mouth and her neck, and the rough way his hands had dug into the rope around her waist, pulling her even closer to him as he whispered how much he wanted her. He had to remember. But he refused to look at her. He practically treated her like a stranger. It was the same this morning at the other ruins they'd visited. When he spoke, it was either in short answers to one of her questions or terse commands. It was unfair that out of all the plans Tella had recently made, the only one that had worked involved pushing him away. She thought she could handle Legend not loving her, but she wasn't doing very well with the idea of him despising her. She circled the fountain again, even though they'd already scoured these ruins for images that might have represented the immortal library and led her to the Rusica. They'd taken turns dripping blood on anything that appeared symbolic. But either the entrance of the immortal library wasn't here, or it would take more than blood to open it. Legend raked a hand through his dark hair before finally turning away from the fountain and silently starting toward the crumbling steps that led back down to the streets. They were both dressed in the sort of ordinary clothes that made people easy to overlook. Tella was wearing a short-sleeved dress the color of muddy lake water, while Legend wore simple brown pants and a homespun shirt with fraying sleeves. Yet the bastard still managed to move with the arrogance of someone who knew eyes would turn his way no matter what he wore. His steps possessed the sort of confidence that some people search their whole lives for. "Are you coming?" he said, tone gruff, as he reached the top of the stairs.
"Depends on where you're going."
The voice that traveled up from the base of the steps below them was crystallized loveliness, clear and delicate and unbreakably strong. Tella swept closer just to hear it better. Legend tried to step in front of her, but Tella had to see who the voice belonged to. The woman who appeared at the top of the steps was almost as pretty as the sound of her words. A gauzy peach dress billowed above the cracked ground as she moved, the same way the Maiden Death's tattered gown had, as if a magical breeze followed wherever she went. She stood taller than Legend. Her skin was pale and hard as marble, her hair nearly shorn to the scalp, and on top of her head rested a thin gold circlet, which made her look like an ancient princess.
"Aren't you a handsome one?"
she said to Legend in that same hypnotic voice. He replied with an irresistible smile. "Most people think so."
"Do you think so?"
The entrancing woman turned back to Tella. But as soon as she had asked her question, all Tella could see were images of Legend. She pictured him during Caraval, when he'd waited for her in front of the Temple of the Stars, with only a wide cloth wrapped around his lower half, revealing his glorious chest in all its sculpted splendor.
"You should see him without a shirt on. He's magnificent."
Tella's mouth hung open as soon as the words were out. She didn't even know this woman, and she wasn't supposed to be in love with Legend anymore. But Legend didn't smirk or grin as he normally might have. In fact, he looked murderous. The woman laughed, the sound as captivating as her voice. It begged Tella to laugh with her, but this time Tella fought against the urge to give in as she took in the woman's appearance once more. Tella's eyes darted back up to the circlet around her head. It was covered in ancient symbols, which Tella couldn't read, but she imagined that if she could have deciphered them, the symbols would have told her that this woman wasn't an ancient princess, but the fated priestess. Priestess. Her magic was in her voice. That's why Tella had answered her so honestly. Whenever priestess asked a question, a person had the choice between answering it truthfully or fighting the question and dying. Her voice wasn't just compelling. It was deadly.
"I can already see that playing with you two is going to be fun," said the fate. "Would you like to stay here and play with me?"
All of the hairs on Tella's arms rose. The word no crashed against her skull, followed by never, and then the words "I'd rather kill you." But she knew it would be a mistake to scream any of those the way she wanted to. They needed to get away. But the words no and never kept pounding at her skull, pounding and pounding, and
"I'm afraid we have somewhere else we need to go,"
Legend answered smoothly. Tella regained the ability to think, but it only lasted for a moment.
"That's disappointing."
The fate's mouth fell into a pout.
Where are you two going that could possibly be more interesting than spending time with me?
Images of the immortal library ripped from decks of destiny took over Tella's thoughts. She saw magical bookshelves full of forbidden volumes, and then the Rusica opened to a page with detailed instructions of how to kill the fallen star.
We're going to ruins around Valenda in search of the immortal library,
Legend said. His voice was still completely level. Tella didn't know if he wasn't even trying to fight the questions, or if the magic affected him more than her, making it impossible to hold off from answering. Sometime between now and the last question, the priestess had moved closer to him. Her long white fingers were on his arm, trailing up to his neck.
That place isn't meant for humans. What would I need to do to make you stay here with me instead?
The question wasn't directed at Tella this time. It didn't press against her skull. And yet she sensed the fate had placed more magic behind it. Tella could feel the question filling the ruins with a sickly sweet stench as the fate's hands climbed into Legend's hair, the same way Esmeralda's had. And Tella feared the fate wasn't just using her powers to compel Legend to answer a question. She wanted to possess him.
Nothing will change his mind,
Tella shouted, drawing the wretched fate's attention her way. The priestess's lips thinned.
You don't have a strong sense of self-preservation, do you?
I'm stronger than most people think, Tella said. She thought she saw a fraction of Legend's missing smile return, and before the fate could ask another question, the earth began to shake. The ruins rattled, the steps split, the cursed fountain cracked in half, wine spilling all over the ground as the remains of the ruined mansion collapsed in a thunderous cloud of dust and debris. The dust was so thick, Tella couldn't see Legend or the priestess, but she thought she heard the fate's footsteps running away as Tella searched for a safe place to hide until the earthquake ceased. All she could see was dust, but she didn't choke on it. And though the world around her was collapsing, she realized that nothing had actually touched her. Legend? She called tentatively, although she was fairly certain the priestess was now gone.
Tell me you're doing this.
The dust vanished. The shaking stopped, and the ruins returned to as they had been. The only cracks that remained were the ones that had been there before. An illusion. Legend appeared next, but unlike the ruins, he looked much different than before. Damp hair clung to his brow, and his bronze skin looked gray as he stumbled toward Tella. Legend never stumbled. Her arms went around him instinctively, and either he was truly weakened, or they'd reached a temporary truce because he didn't push her away. He leaned heavily against her, making it impossible for her to move. He had drained himself using too much magic. Legend was private about many things, including anything involving his powers. But she knew his magic was at its peak during Caraval because it was fueled by all the emotions of everyone in attendance. He'd probably been stronger at the palace for similar reasons.
You didn't have to go to all that trouble to scare her, Tella said.
Legend's fingers found her hair and combed through her curls, an idle gesture that he probably didn't even realize he was doing.
I didn't want her asking questions you might refuse to answer.
I'm not that stubborn, Tella huffed.
Yes, you are, he murmured. But I like that about you.
Legend's hand left her curls and wrapped around the vulnerable back of her neck. Definitely an intentional gesture. He stroked her skin with fingers that made her think he wasn't as weak as he seemed, and then he tilted her head back until she was looking up at him. His color was already returning to his handsome face, making him look a little untouchable, even as he continued to touch her. Her teeth sunk into her lower lip. For a weak moment, she hoped this wasn't a temporary truce, and that he'd finally seen through her speech from last night. He released her neck and pulled away. We should go. But I've just gotten here. The Prince of Hearts appeared at the top of the steps. He leaned against a crumbling rail, an elegant mess of wrinkled clothing, lazy movements, and golden hair, which hung over eyes that appeared as if he'd been watching them for a while. Ice coated Tella's skin, but it was different from the chill she felt whenever Jax looked at her, because his eyes had moved next to her, latching onto Legend, who Jax, along with the rest of the Empire, had only known as Dante, a young man who was supposed to be dead, a young man who just used a frightening amount of power, a young man who didn't curse at Jax or try to protect Tella as he had with the priestess. She swiftly turned to see Legend. His broad shoulders were stiff, his expression was fixed. He stood still as a statue beside her, the same way he had the night of the faded ball when Jax had used his powers to briefly stop everyone's hearts from beating. "Jax, stop this!" Tella demanded. But the Prince of Hearts didn't even acknowledge her. His blue eyes had taken on a ravenous look, and in that moment Tella could see what he was thinking. Unlike the other fates, Jax was at only half power. He wanted the rest of his powers back, and Legend was the one with the ability to restore him. "Stay away from him," Tella begged. Legend was already weakened from using so much magic. She didn't want to think what a power exchange with Jax would do to him right now. But the Prince of Hearts continued to ignore her. His rabid gaze stayed on Legend's frozen form. "You know, I wondered if you were Legend during Caraval, and then again when I saw you in her dream. But then you died." "He's not Legend," Tella lied. Jax finally tilted his head her way, but none of the mischief that had been in his eyes last night was there. He looked more like the cruel boy she'd first met in the carriage who'd threatened to push her out just to see if she survived. "If he's not Legend, then who created the illusion I just saw? And how is he alive? The reports I heard said the new heir had been killed."
"Those were rumors," Tella said.
"I started them to keep the fates away." Jax laughed, but his eyes remained cold.
"For once I hope you're lying, my love. And if you're not, then I'm so sorry."
Tella clutched her breastbone and doubled over, suddenly dizzy and nauseous and unable to breathe. The ruins, Jax, Legend, everything turned into a blur, and stars burst before her eyes as pain blinded her.
"What the hell?" Legend cursed, finally free of Jack's control.
"Don't make another move toward her," Jax warned, "unless you wish her to die."
"Jax,"
Tella gasped as she dropped to her knees, no longer able to stand.
"Why?
What have you done?" Legend roared.
"I'm giving her a heart attack," Jax said calmly. "It will kill her very soon. Unless you give me my full powers back right now."
"Tick-tock. She doesn't have long left."
"Jax,"
Tella panted. She couldn't believe he was really doing this.
"Don't do—"
"I'll do it," Legend said. "Stop hurting her, and I'll restore your powers with some of mine. But only if you swear right now in blood to never use any of your abilities on Tella or on me again."
The prince's mouth tightened, and his eyes might have flashed back to Tella.
"Fine. You have a deal. I won't, unless one of you asks me to."
Jax took a dagger from his boot and sliced his hand, creating a spill of blood to seal the promise. Tella started gasping, panting for air.
"You're a demon!"
She might have cursed Jax more thoroughly, but all she wanted to do was breathe.
She trusted him. She thought that he actually cared about her, and he'd tried to kill her.
Legend's arms went around her,
holding her up as she continued to fight for oxygen. "You scared me," he murmured.
"What will this cost you?"
she asked against his chest. Instead of answering, Legend carefully walked her to the edge of the fountain. Seeming to have mostly recovered from his earlier use of magic, as he helped her sit on the rim.
"Stay. I'll be right back."
He turned back to the Prince of Hearts.
"We're not doing this here."
Legend stalked into the ruins of the decrepit mansion without waiting for Jax to follow. As soon as Jax and Legend were out of sight, Tella shoved up from the fountain with shaky arms and shuffled in the direction they'd gone. Jax was only supposed to take a fraction of Legend's power, but she didn't trust him, and she'd seen the power exchange between Legend and the witch. She had watched as Legend drained Esmeralda of all her magic. She couldn't let that happen to Legend. Jax might have left her too weak to do much, but even at her best, she wouldn't be able to tear two powerful immortals apart. But it wouldn't prevent her from trying if necessary. She crept closer to the ruined mansion that Jax and Legend had entered. The entire structure was skeletal, a corpse made of bricks and stones instead of bones. Tella pressed her hands against the dirty walls to keep herself from collapsing as she peered through a jagged hole. She knew from her own experience with Jax that blood exchanges could be intensely emotional. Jax's mouth was latched on to Legend's wrist. Blood stained the corners of his lips, while his face twisted into something sadistic and hungry as he drank. Unlike Jax, Legend appeared to feel nothing. He looked like a study in apathy, until suddenly, Legend ripped his wrist away from Jax's mouth with enough force to knock the fate several steps back.
"Tella isn't yours."
The words were razor sharp. Jax responded with a bloody smile.
"She will be."
Tella gripped the wall to stay standing as she again remembered the way he'd flashed his dimples and said,
"I suppose I'll just have to try harder."
Was this his way of trying? She continued to watch as Jax wiped the blood from his mouth with the back of his hand.
"She forgave me before. She'll forgive me again. And now that this transaction has taken your ability to visit her dreams, it shouldn't be difficult to win her."
Tella shoved away from the wall, ready to march inside and tell Jax just how difficult and unforgiving she could be. But her legs had other ideas. They crumpled beneath her and brought her crashing to the hard ground.
"Bastard!"
"I hope you're not talking about me."
She looked up. Legend towered above her, but his coloring was off again. He looked pale instead of glowing bronze, and his dark hair had fallen out of place.
"I asked you to stay by the fountain."
No, he'd told her to stay. But she didn't want to fight with him about it, not after what she'd just seen him do.
"I'm sorry about the dreams."
"I don't care about the dreams."
His voice turned rough in a flash.
"I care that you almost died."
"I don't think he really would have killed me."
"Yes, he would have, Tella. He's a fate. You're a human and the object of his obsession. There's only one way your story with him ends. Unless you let me make you an immortal."
She didn't even see him move, but suddenly Legend was on his knees in front of her. His eyes met hers in a way that was both fierce and tender all at once, while his warm hands cupped her cheeks.
What are you doing?"
she stammered.
"I gave up too easily."
His thumb stroked her jaw.
"You asked me to let you go, but I can't."
"I already told you. It was just the idea."
"You lied."
Another quick move, and his hand left her face so that one of his arms could slide under her legs while another went behind her back.
"Legend," Tella protested. "I don't need you to carry me."
He continued picking her up and cradled her to his chest, so close she could feel his steady heartbeat.
"He tried to kill you. I need to carry you."
All the air left her lungs as he marched across the ruins and started down the steps. I'm still not letting you make me an immortal.
We'll see.
His voice had softened, and she might have called it sweet, but there was nothing sweet about the way he smiled. It was a smile that promised she'd enjoy this new game, even as she lost it. Chapter 39. Donatella. Tella had never been so cold inside one of her dreams. Her breath came out in thick, white puffs that lingered like fog as she wandered through a house of cards, which was actually more nightmare than dream. All of the cards were either queens with her smiling likeness, or kings with Jack's cruel face winking at her whenever she dared look at them.
I know you're here somewhere, Tella called.
She didn't know how he'd gotten into her dream. She'd taken precautions to keep him out after he'd tried to kill her. But clearly those measures had failed. Jack sauntered out from between a pair of red queens with her face that both had the audacity to blow him kisses. She stormed forward and slapped him across the cheek, hard enough to leave a red mark against his pale skin.
I will never forgive you for what you did today.
Every king and queen on the cards scowled or covered their mouths in shock. Some looked as if they might even march out of their cards and attack. But Jax waved them off with a lazy hand, as something that was probably supposed to be sadness flickered in his silver-blue eyes. You were never in danger, Donatella. His voice was far more serious than usual. I knew he wouldn't let me kill you.
That doesn't justify what you did!
She tried not to shout, tried not to show how much he'd hurt her, how much she cared. She'd never meant to trust him, but he'd been there when her mother had died. He'd cared for her when Legend hadn't. She knew he was a fate. She knew he had little to no conscience. But she'd started to believe he was trying to fight against his nature for her.
What would you have done if he refused to give you his power? Would you have let me die?
I knew he wouldn't refuse.
That's not an answer.
Tella clamped her hands into fists. She wanted to slap him again. She wanted to tackle him to the ground and take the entire house of cards down with him and hurt him the way that he'd hurt her. But Legend was right. Jax was an immortal. And she was clearly his obsession. There was no good ending to their story. He wasn't even capable of the same emotions as she was. If he felt any guilt, or if he'd had any real feelings for her, he'd have never tried to kill her.
Why do you care? Jack said. You just said you'd never forgive me.
You're still ignoring the question.
Jax rubbed the cheek where she'd slapped him as he leaned back against one of his paper kings.
Would you even believe me if I said no? That I wouldn't let you die? That I would never let you die?
No, Tella said. I won't ever believe you again.
And I want you to stay out of my dreams.
She knew he'd made a blood vow not to use his powers on her, but if he wanted to, she knew he'd find a way around the vow, like he did with everything else.
How did you even get in here tonight?
The paper king that Jax leaned against gave Tella a crooked smile. You and I have a connection. I've never needed permission to enter your dreams. Tella's blood ran cold.
No, we do not have a connection. And after this, I never want to see you again.
The paper king's smile faded, but Jax looked undisturbed.
You say that now, but you'll come back to me.
Chapter 40. Donatella. Time was rushing faster than blood could pour out of a sliced artery. In 2 days, the fallen star would make his claim for the throne, unless they managed to stop him.
Yesterday, the Fates had continued to torment the city by torching every church in the temple district that did not worship one of the Fates. The air was still tinged brown from smoke. The flames had been put out by a band of brave citizens before the fire could spread to other parts of Valenda. But the damage had marked a fresh tipping point. It was exactly as Scarlet had predicted would happen in her last note. People were ready for a deliverer. When the fallen star appeared, all of Valenda would think he was their savior. Tella prayed to all the saints that she would find a way to kill him inside the immortal library, before they ran out of time. Unfortunately, it seemed the fated library still did not wish to be found. Or perhaps it had never been in Valenda to begin with. Tella spied an untouched statue of the Prince of Hearts as they searched the scorched temple districts for symbols of the library. The statue bore little resemblance to Jack's. Its face looked much kinder. Its cheeks were round instead of hollow. Its smile looked impish rather than evil, and its lips didn't appear quite so sharp. Legend pressed a warm hand to the small of her back. He hadn't stopped touching her since the day before. It would have been smarter to separate, at least by a few feet, as they searched for symbols to lead them into the library. But it seemed Legend had adopted a new strategy when it came to winning Tella.
"Ready to move on, sweetheart?"
Tella narrowed her eyes. Legend gave her an amazed smile.
"What about Dearheart or Angel?"
"I think we can both agree I'm far from an angel. And you're not going to convince me to become an immortal with a term of endearment." She pulled away, but he quickly grabbed the sash around her waist and wound it around his fist to draw her close. It was cloudburst blue, the same color as her striped dress. Yesterday's drab clothes hadn't kept them unnoticed, so Tella opted for prettier attire today.
"You're right. I think Little Devil is more fitting."
He kept reeling her to him, dark eyes full of laughter. He didn't seem worried that the world around them was literally crumbling. He looked at her as if she was all that mattered.
"Please tell me I'm interrupting something,"
Jax drawled as he stepped out from behind the bleeding throne fountain directly across from them. The basin was dry, its crimson waters probably used to put out fires, leaving behind bits of cracked red that would have normally matched Jax's haphazard attire. But for once, the Prince of Hearts looked immaculate. His golden hair was neatly tied back, his clothes were pressed, his boots were polished, and his tailored white suit was the color people usually associated with angels. Legend instantly moved in front of Tella like a shield. Jax's pale lips fell into a frown.
"I'm not here to make any threats. I keep my vows. I just have a gift for Donatella."
"I don't want any gifts from you," she spat. Jax tugged at his cravat, dissolving his impeccable appearance with one frustrated pull.
"I know you hate me again, but hopefully this will prove that I'm not really your enemy."
He held out a bound scroll of paper.
"This is why you haven't been able to find the Immortal Library."
Tella pointedly ignored the scroll.
"We're done making deals with you." "There's no deal involved. Consider this gift my apology."
Jax's eyes slowly met hers. Today, they were a brilliant blue with threads of bloodshot red, as if he were so torn up he hadn't slept. But Tella knew that was a lie since he'd appeared in her dreams.
"Even if you don't want to accept it, it's what you need if you want to find the Immortal Library. You can only locate the library if you've been there before, or if you use the map of all."
The scroll began to glow in Jax's hands, just like the Fates often did. Tella tried not to look at it. The map of all was a faded object, similar to the reverie key. But instead of finding people, it located places. It was said that if a person touched the map, it would lead that person to the place they wanted to find most, even if that location was in another realm. It could reveal hidden portals and doors to other worlds. It was priceless and mythic, and made other treasures feel as thin as slips of paper. It was difficult to resist the urge to grab it right out of Jax's hands.
"We don't need your map."
"But we'll take it," Legend said. With one lightning-quick move, the rolled map was in his hand. Tella expected a protest from Jax, but he merely placed his pale hands in his pockets.
"I hope you can now find what you're looking for."
He gave Tella a final look, meeting her gaze with sad, hooded eyes and so much sincerity he could have been a picture of a saint on a confessional wall. But while she could believe he was upset that she hated him again, she doubted he truly regretted what he'd done. Tella had no doubts that Jax wanted her. But wanting someone wasn't the same as loving them. And yesterday he'd proved that he wanted his powers even more than he wanted her. Jax walked away without another word. Legend unbound the map. His face was aloof, but the quickness with which he unrolled the scroll betrayed a hint of his eagerness at possessing the faded object, despite its unsavory source. The paper was a bland shade of oatmeal, but Tella watched as it shifted in Legend's fingers. It started out blank, but as he held on to it, a spot of dark blue ink appeared. It grew into the smoldering remains of the temple district, sketched piles of ash forming alongside statues of fates. Tella saw the Prince of Hearts statue and the Bleeding Throne fountain. Then she appeared. First, her untamed ringlets took shape, followed by her heart-shaped face, and her striped gown with its sweetheart neckline and tiny cap sleeves. She waited for a rendering of Legend to materialize next, but all that showed up was a tiny star at her feet. She was where Legend wanted to be.
"Don't look so surprised."
He flashed a crooked smile, eyes filling with the same teasing look he'd given her earlier when he'd called her sweetheart. But she noticed that he didn't even brush her finger as he handed her the magical map. Was it possible that Legend was actually falling in love with her? Not that she wanted him to, not anymore. No matter how much just the thought of the possibility of his love made her heart start to race, she didn't want him to become human and thus susceptible to death for her. And he'd made it clear over and over that he didn't want to either. Tella looked down at the map as it began to shift again. She didn't want to trust the map. It felt too much like trusting Jax. And she imagined Legend had to feel the same way. But she was grateful he'd taken the faded object. The uncontrollable feeling that time was moving too fast and they were moving too slow was back. Whenever Tella thought about Scarlet, Tella's heart clenched with fear. She reminded herself that her older sister was cautious, and the letter she'd sent yesterday promised she would bring them the fallen star's blood tonight. But Tella couldn't help but fear that something was about to go wrong. And even if Scarlet managed to get the blood, it wouldn't do them any good if they didn't find the Rusica. Tella and Legend didn't have the luxury of wasting time, and the map was too incredible to ignore. As Tella and Legend followed the map of all, it didn't just outline a route for them. It revealed a strange sense of humor, as it affixed odd labels to several of the places, plants, and animals that Tella and Legend passed, and some that they didn't pass. Highly intelligent dog, beware of lice. Actual skeletons inside the closets. Valenda's finest fish fudge. Underground tunnels that lead out of town. Underground tunnels that lead to death and dismemberment. Tella had almost stopped thinking about where they were actually heading when the path on the map finally ended just south of the Satine district. The words, "Entrance to the Immortal Library," appeared. But all Tella could see was an out-of-use sky carriage house with a set of rotted boards nailed crosswise in front of the main door. The words, "Danger" and "Do Not Enter," were painted crudely over the boards, with symbols of skulls and kissing spiders painted beneath them. Tella had never encountered the deadly arachnids, but she'd heard the stories. Kissing spiders attacked at night while people were sleeping, laying eggs inside of a person's mouth and then sealing their victim's lips shut with their webs. There was no way to destroy the webs. They remained in place until the spiders hatched, and by then, the victims were always dead.
This is all a glamour.